Good morning. My name is Ari Rakoff. I'm the Director of Community Initiatives at Yeshiva University Center for the Jewish Future. And it's a great pleasure to welcome you all back to Majeshi Yom Rishon this morning. As you all know, we've been off for a few weeks, and aside from our Motei Shabbat Tshuva, record-breaking Majeshi and Kol Yom Rishon, and hopefully some of you were there, we had over 650 participants at that event. We welcome you all back, and we hope that you're all as excited and energized as we are to get back into the week in, week out, back on track, Majeshi and Kol Yom Rishon schedule. This is a particularly special week for us, because we have the Blumenthal, Sharon and Avram Blumenthal, who are dedicating this week's program. They're dedicating it first on the occasion of their 25th wedding anniversary, and also on the occasion of the Blumenthal and Zenger's longstanding relationship with Yeshiva University. There's two sons, who I'll mention in just a moment, are currently studying here with their Rebbe, and who will be speaking to us this morning as well. So we'd like to thank you, Mrs. Blumenthal. We welcome you, your husband, and all of your friends who are here to honor you on this occasion. Baruch Hashem, this year has gotten off to a wonderful start. And beginning this week, we hope to make an extra effort to provide you weeks in advance notice of the different speakers. So if you'll notice on the outside, we list the speakers for next week. It will also be a very special week, more to be announced on that later. And if you check our website, www.madreshayomrishon.org, you'll actually see a list of speakers for the next 5 weeks, including names like Shani Tarragon, Menachem Liebtag, and others. And hopefully you'll enjoy it, and you should also approach us with speakers that you have in mind. We get calls now all over the world to come speak at this program, and it's a tribute to all of you for your dedication in coming to this program and coming in week in, week out, and it's being recognized all around. So please approach us with names, and we'll be delighted to put them on our radar screen. Please also make sure that we have your email addresses. Oftentimes, we leave lists in the back. We'll make an extra effort to pass those around. Please give us your email addresses, your friends' email addresses, so we can pass that around. And please also consider to follow the path of the Blumenthals. Consider sponsoring a week's program. If you're interested, there are brochures in the back, and we'd be delighted to speak to you about dedicating a program in honor of a specific event. Our first speaker this morning, Rabbi Shalom Rosner, has a special relationship with the family, and appropriate to today's dedication, all of the shiurim will be focusing on the topic of family. And Judah Blumenthal, where's Judah? In the back. We give Judah special status here. Along with myself, will be the male representatives. Judah actually chose the topic for this week's session, and Rabbi Rosner, who many of you know, is a popular lecturer here at Majeshi and Kol Yom Rishon, serves as the Rav in Congregation Beis Ephraim Yitzchak in Woodward, New York, and as well as is a Rebbe in the Beit Midrash program, where he teaches Judah and a group of boys here at Yeshiva University. It's a pleasure to ask Rabbi Rosner to speak on the topic of the roots of our national family, observance of mitzvot by the Avot. Rabbi Rosner.
Everybody has the Makoros packet, plus there was an extra single sheet that was given out in the back. If you don't have it, there should be one single sheet that is double-sided that you also have. I'll give a minute for everybody to get it. It has the Nefesh HaChaim and the Gur Aryeh on opposite sides. Today's shiur is in honor of the Blumenthal's anniversary, which we thank again for sponsoring. We wish them continued simcha and nachas from each other, from their children, and from Judah, who I have the pleasure over the past couple of years of teaching. He's a real wonderful asset to the Shir. And also, may you have many more zchuyos in the future to sponsor and to be marbitz much more Torah to men and women throughout the world. In their honor, let's discuss a topic that relates to the roots of our national family, a topic that will relate to many parshios that we'll be learning and laning over the next couple of weeks. Doesn't have to do with one specific parsha, but starting with this week, the birth of Avram Avinu, throughout Sefer Bereishis, we'll be discussing the stories of the Avot and the Imahot. And to get us into the topic, let's look at a few Rashis, a few Chazals, some are familiar to us, to try to bring the question to light. Source number one, Rashi quotes in a couple of weeks, Vayamar Avram Ha'olala El Sara, the story of Avraham and the Malachim. The angels come to the house of Avram Avinu to tell him that he's going to have a child. Sarah's in the tent, Vayomer, and he says, Avram says to her, Mari Shalosim Kamachsolas Lushi Vasiugos. Go make some bread, go bring some meat for these wonderful guests. No, let's give them a good time. Let's give them some good food. The medrash on that pasuk, Lushi Vaasi Ugos. What is Ugos? What kind of cakes are we referring to? Was Avram Avinu telling Sarah to prepare for these special individuals? Source number two, the medrash on that pasuk tells us, Lushi Vaasi Ugos. She ben Nisan Nolad Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the following year, was born in Nisan. Uminayin, how do you know that he was born in Nisan? Elak Shah Malachim Ba'im Eitzel Avraham. Mahu Omer. What does the pasuk say when the angels come to Avram Avinu? Lushi Vasiugos, make cakes. Shehaya Pesach. It was the Chag of Pesach. Va'omer lo shava shuv elecha ke'is chaya. Yinei vein l'sara ishtecha. It was Pesach time. And Sarah was busy baking matzahs. And that's what Avram Avinu is referring to. Lushi Vasiugos, Ugos Matzos. That's what it's referring to. So it was Pesach time, and that's what Avram was doing. So this is already one of the earliest sources where we see Avram Avinu was celebrating Pesach, though the story of Pesach hadn't happened yet. Bnei Yisrael had not gone out of Mitzrayim yet. Bnei Yisrael were not born yet. There was no such thing as Am Yisrael. We're talking about the first Jew, Avram Avinu. And yet he was already celebrating Pesach. This is not something unique, it appears, just to Avram Avinu, but the other Avot and the Imahot also celebrated and fulfilled certain mitzvos. Source number three. The pasuk tells us, Lechna el Hatzon by Rivka Imenu, when Rivka tells Yaakov, I need you to be the recipient of the brachos from my husband Yitzchak. You go trick, in quotes, a separate shiur topic, trick your father, and you go and dress up like Esav. The pasuk says, Lechna el Hatzon, go to the sheep, V'kachna misham shnei gedayei izim tovim. Take me two goodly goats. Find two goats for me. I'll prepare them. I know how your father loves his meat. I'll prepare those goats and I'll take care of him. Asks Rashi, quoting the Medrash, why two goats? One goat's not enough for Yitzchak. Yitzchak was going to eat so much. Why two goats? Shnei gedayei izim. Says Rashi in source number four, Shnei gedayei izim, v'chishnei gedayei izim, ayim achol shal Yitzchak. I don't think anybody could eat one goat. Two goats? Ela ha'echad hikrav lepischo ve'echad asam matamim. Again, it was Pesach. Another version of the Medrash is one was for the Pesach, one was for the Chagiga. Just like on our Seder plate, we have two items that remember the two different karbanos. We have the Zroah and we have the Beitzah. One remembers the Karban Pesach, which is the special karban we brought on Pesach. The other was to remember the Chagiga, another special karban we brought on Pesach. But again, we see here a remez, a hint that it was Pesach, and Yitzchak Avinu was fulfilling the karbanos of Pesach. Two goats, one for each karban. And again, we may ask, what was Yitzchak doing? He was fulfilling Pesach, the story of Pesach didn't happen yet, and yet we find that Avram, Yitzchak, were fulfilling the chag, the mitzvos of Pesach. And finally, just to finish the introduction, by Yaakov Avinu. Again, there are more, I just gave one example by each of the Avot. Pasuk says, this one is well known in source number 5, Vayitzav Osam Leimar, Ko Sabrun Ladoni Leisav, Ko Amar Abdecha Yaakov, Tel Esav, Im Lavan Garti Va'echar Ad Ata. I've been with Lavan all of these years. And Rashi quotes, Im Lavan Garti, it's become famous through a song today. Garti, source number 6, Lo Nasesi Sarva Chashuv El Ager. I'm a stranger. I'm not a get. I'm not a. I haven't. I'm sojourning. I'm not living. You're upset. You wanted to kill me that I received the brachos. I'm not a prince. The brachos have not been fulfilled. There's nothing to be jealous about. Don't be upset at me. The bracha that I'm going to be a prince over your brother, that didn't occur. That's the first version, the first pshat that Rashi gives. Don't be upset at me, I'm a ger. And of course, the second version, davar acher, garti. What is Yaakov referring to by garti? I'm loving garti. Rashi says, the middle of source number 6, v'gematria taryag. Switch around the letters of garti, it spells out taryag 613. Klomar. Im lovan harasha garti v'taryag mitzvahs shamarti v'lo lamati mamaisav haroim. He's alluding to Esav. Don't think I have been affected by my negative surroundings. I've been with Lavan, but I still fulfill taryag mitzvos, 613 mitzvos. So we see from these three examples, especially the third one already is a little more elaborate, the avos kept the Torah. They kept the mitzvos. They fulfilled the mitzvos even before they were commanded. There were certain mitzvos that they were commanded to do, to perform. That hopefully we'll get to in the second part of this year. Those specific mitzvos that they were commanded to perform. But we see in a general sense, they did many mitzvos as einam mitzuvim v'yosim. They weren't commanded, they did the mitzvos anyway. Wonderful concept. Many times we have this concept, a woman shaking a lulav. A woman does not have to shake a lulav yet. She shakes a lulav. Ein mitzvah v'yoseh. We paskin as Ashkenazim that she even can make a bracha when she shakes a lulav. This, the source of this idea of doing mitzvos before they are commanded, the avos and the imos were the first ones to do it. They did Pesach, they did Taryag mitzvos. But there is a problem. This is a wonderful agadic concept, but some might have been bothered. There seem to be some, quote, violations of this concept. And that's going to be the topic of the first half of the shiur. We know, what are some examples? The major example, Yaakov Avinu. He says, Taryag mitzvah shamarti. Yaakov married two sisters. How did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? That was something that's, you don't have to look too far in the Torah to know, to marry two sisters is an Isser Daraisa. It's a biblical prohibition. How could Yaakov Avinu say, Taryag mitzvah shamarti? How could we say, Pesach? They fulfilled Pesach, fulfilled all the mitzvahs. How is it possible that there was this violation? How could Amram marry his aunts and produce a Moshe Rabbeinu? There are others that we'll see in a minute. This is the question that we're going to deal with in the first part of the shiur. But even before that, this idea of the avos keeping the Torah is generalized in a Mishnah in Kiddushin, in source number 7, where it talks about Avram Avinu. V'cheinu omer ba'Avram Avinu, the Avram Zalkein v'Hashem Berech as Avram Bakol, Matzinu, where it's underlined, we find Sha'asim Avram Avinu as Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. Shenemar, as it says, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bakoli, Hashem, Avram listens to my voice, says Hashem. What is my voice? Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai V'sarosai. Avram Avinu fulfills the Chukim, the Toros, the Mitzvos. So Avram Avinu did everything. And not only, lest we say it was only certain Mitzvos, the Gemara in Yuma even expands on this. In source number 8, after quoting that Avram Avinu fulfilled this chazal, that Avram Avinu did all the mitzvos, the Gemara emphasizes at the end of the second line in source number 8, V'itemer Rav Ashi, Kiyem Avram Avinu afilu eruvei tavshilin. Even eruvei tavshilin, what's eruv tavshilin? We remember we didn't have any 3-day yantifs or 2-day yantifs this time around, but whenever yantif falls out on Friday, and we want to prepare from Friday to Shabbos, so we use the halakhic mechanism called an Erev Tavshilin in order to prepare from Friday to Shabbos, without getting into the details, but this is a mitzvah midrabanan. An Erev Tavshilin is an example of a mitzvah midrabanan. The Gemara is emphasizing that Avram Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvahs, even the rabbinic mitzvahs, even the ones which were going to come up in history, for a specific reason, based on a certain motivation of the rabbis, even those Avram Avinu was careful to fulfill. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the end of Source 8, Torosai. Torosai is plural, my Toros. Achas Torah Shebechsav, the Achas Torah Shebalpeh. The written Torah, the oral Torah, the Orises, the Rabbanans, Avram Avinu did everything. And so it seems, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So we're back to our question. How is it that there seem to be some quote-unquote violations of this concept? They only did most, they did some. What are the rules? What messages can we take from these roots. These were the ones that started our religion. So what messages can we take from these chazals and take with us throughout the reading of Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shemos? As I alluded to before, the second half of the shiur, hopefully we'll have time for it, we'll get to related to those specific mitzvos that they were commanded. Are there any specific messages that we could get for our life as well? Okay. We're going to have four different ideas, one somewhat smaller and three other a little more drawn out ideas to explain this idea of the Rishonim and the Achronim, the question that has bothered, how could they have these seeming violations? The Ramah has a suggestion. Number one, source number nine. The Ramah, the basis of Ashkenazic Minhag, he also wrote Shuvos. So Ramah has the following idea. This does not fit in to a number of the sources that discuss this, but he suggests that maybe it wasn't all the Avos that fulfilled the mitzvahs. After all, he says, Mikom Makom, where it's underlined in source number nine, Mikom Makom Nuchalomar, Imhu, talking about Avram Avinu, Imhu Shamar Anshe Beso Lo Shamro. Avram Avinu, the first Jew, he fulfilled all of the mitzvahs. The last two sources that we just saw, the Mishnah in Yuma, says, Avram Avinu Kiyem Kol HaTorah Kula. The next source, Avram Avinu did even the rabbinic mitzvahs, the mitzvahs Derabanan. Avram Avinu, says the Ramah, fulfilled all the mitzvos. Anshe beso lo shamru, but his children, Yitzchak and Yaakov, didn't do everything. Rak achok ani musi anim salahem. He gave them certain ideas of derech eretz, certain messages of mitzvos, but the idea that kiyem kol haTorah kula, says the Ramah, did not apply to all the avos. Only Avram Avinu. This is generally rejected by the later sources based on one of the chazals that we just saw. Yaakov Avinu says, Im Lavan Garti, Vitaryag Mitzvah Shamarti. Yaakov is the one that says Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. But again, this is a suggestion because some of the sources that discuss the Avos doing, fulfilling the entire Torah has to do with Avram Avinu and its focus. Misvara, logically, it makes sense. Avram Avinu is the starter of the religion. He has to set the baseline for the rest of history. So he has to do all the mitzvahs. So to say that Avram Avinu had a higher standard than the other Avos is logical, but it does not fit into all the sources. That is why we move on to try to glean messages from other sources as well. But that is one idea, that of the Ramah. Maybe Avram Avinu was different. And that explains some of the texts. But now let's move on to a somewhat larger idea. Skip the next source. Let's go to source number 11. The question of the Ramban and the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban asked our question. The Yesh Lishol asked the Ramban in a couple of weeks. Source number 11. The Yesh Lishol. Im Kain, if this is true, that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, as most Mefarshim assume, it was all the Avos and the Imahos that kept the Torah. If it's true that they kept the Torah, Hekim Yaakov Matseva. How did Yaakov build a matzeva, which is a type of altar, which was later forbidden in the Torah? Lo sakim lecha matzeva asher sani Hashem alokecha. The pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, you're not allowed to build a matzeva, which is a specific type of altar. So how did Yaakov Avinu build that altar? V'nasa shtei achios. How did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Ukedasar boseinu arba. There's a medrash that says Bila and Zilpa were also half-sisters of Rachel and Leah. So it's not only two sisters, maybe. Maybe it's four sisters. How could Yaakov Avinu do that? The Amram Nasa Dodaso. An Amram marrying his aunt. An uncle was allowed to marry a niece, but an aunt is not allowed to marry a nephew. So how could Amram have married his aunt? Moshe Rabbeinu hakim shtei masrei matzeva. And Moshe Rabbeinu as well made 12 matzevas. The heich efshar sheyenogin heter batorah b'masha asar Avram Avinu alatzmo. Avram Avinu already said it was forbidden. Avram Avinu accepted to fulfill all the commandments. How is it possible that Yaakov Avinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Amram, who Chazal say was the Gadol Hadar, how could they have, again in quotes, violated something that was accepted upon them by their great-grandfather? This is a question that was bothered the Ramban. And then he quotes that they even we have all the Chazals that say he fulfilled everything. So says the Ramban in short fashion in source number 11, and we'll get to an expanded version of it later on in the Torah. Vahanira Eli, says the Ramban, Midas Raboseinu. This is what I think. Shalomad Avram Avinu Kula Baruach HaKodesh Va'asak Ba'o B'tamei Mitzvoseh V'sodoseha. Yes, Avram Avinu saw what the Torah was going to say, and he knew Baruach Kodesho, he knew with his prophetic vision what the Torah was going to say to do and what the Torah was going to say not to do. V'shamarosa, the end of the first underlined line. V'shamarosa kula k'mishenim mitzvah v'yosa. And he fulfilled all the mitzvahs in a realm not commanded, and he still does it. And here's the key four words. V'shmirasalosa haya ba'aretz bilvad. Kiyim kala Torah kula, only in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu realized, says the Ramban, that there was a special idea, as we're going to expand upon in a minute, of doing mitzvos, all mitzvos, in the land of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. And all the seeming violations of the Torah that we have asked as questions did not occur in the land of Israel. The Yaakov b'chutz la'aretz natzah ha'achyos. Yaakov married two sisters outside of the land of Israel. The Ramban writes elsewhere, that is also why God arranged the events that Rachel Imenu had to die on the way back to Eretz Yisrael. Because Yaakov Avinu couldn't remain married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. All the other events that took place that we are talking about. Amram, where did Amram? Amram was in Mitzrayim. Amram Moshe Rabbeinu never stepped foot into Eretz Yisrael. Something that we have this list of saying that we have. Ki ha mitzvos mishpat elokei ha'aretzim. The mitzvos have a special connection. They're the law. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Elokei ha'aretz, the God of Eretz Yisrael. Af apisha hu zharnu b'chofes haguf. Obviously, even though we are obligated to do mitzvos anywhere on the globe, b'chol makom, v'kvar ramu v'arvazinu b'sod hazeh, but still, there's something special about doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, "Vani ha'ircha bo be'ezus Hashem." I'm going to talk about this later. So we're going to skip and see where he talks about it later. But this is approach number two that we have in dealing with our problem. Number one, the Ramah was only Avraham Avinu. Number two was the Ramban, only in Eretz Yisrael. All the problems that we have are outside of Eretz Yisrael. This idea of the Ramban fits in with the Ramban's general view about the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, not only in the halachic realm, which I'm sure there have been shiurim here before about the Ramban counting living in Israel as a mitzvah saseh, as a positive commandment, and the big mystery is the Rambam, who does not quote it, but it seems from other sources that he holds up the concept, but the Ramban, not only of his halachic opinion of holding that living in Israel as a mitzvah saseh, but also his hashkafic view of the land of Israel. Let's read together source number 12. The Ramban in Parshas Achrimos. V'hine, says the Ramban. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I encourage the parts that we don't read, feel free later to read it yourself. V'hine Hashem ha'nechbad hu elokei elokim ba'adoneho adonim l'chal ha'olam. Hashem is God of the universe. Hashem is God of all the universes. Avo Eretz Yisrael em so'os ha'yishuv ki nachlas Hashem yuchedes l'shmo. But the land of Israel is Hashem's special place in the entire universe. Lo natan aleha min ha-malachim katsin shoteru moshel banfilo osa la'amo ha-miyuchad shemo zera ohavav. Hashem didn't give it over to any other being to watch over. And now he explains. Let's skip down a couple of lines. V'hine, where it's underlined, b'chutz la'aretz, af apisha ha-kol l'shem ha-nechbad. Even though, of course, God is in control of all lands and all occurrences throughout the globe, Ein Tara Bashlema. There is not complete purity in the other lands. Ba'avur ha-misharsim ha-moshlim aleha, v'ha'amim ha-toim acharei sarem la'avod gamosam. Says the Ramban, and not all Rishonim will agree to this, but says the Ramban, God, kaviyachol, he put ministering angels, he put intermediary forces to watch over every other land's in the world, besides the land of Israel. Not chas v'shalom to serve them. That's avodah zara. But God, kaviyachol, put, there's not, direct hashgacha does not exist by lands outside the land of Israel. There are these powers, these forces that God put in place. America has a force. Italy has a force. Australia has a, everybody has an angel, a force, some type of power that separates between HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, between God Himself and the people. V'lakach yomar kasuv, this is what it means, Elokei kol ha'aretz yikra. But, sorry, we'll read that in a second. This is what he means, he quoted it earlier, when we read stories in the Torah, the Sar shel Esav, Yaakov Avinu fights with the Sar of Esav and the Sar of other nations of the world, because every country and every nationality throughout the world has a sar, a ministering angel, which takes care of it. Says the Ramban, when it comes to the land of Israel, there is no such sar. There is no such angel or intermediary in between. The pasuk says, Tamid eini Hashem alkecha ba, meireishis hashana nachrishana. God is directly, constantly watching over Eretz Yisrael. There's special hashgacha pratis, divine intervention, when it comes to the land of Israel. Miraculous events mean more in the land of Israel. Let's continue reading of the Ramban, the end of the paragraph that's on the first line that's underlined. Lakach yamar kasuv, this is why Yishayo says, Elokei kol ha'aretz yikra, ki yu Elokei Elokim ha'moshel ha'akol. He's on top of everything. V'hu yifkod b'sof ha'atzva ha'marom, ba'marom, ha'asir memshelas ha'yonim, v'laros marechaz ha'mesharsim. Just want to find the part that we want to focus on. He says in the next paragraph that he is in direct control of Eretz Yisrael. That's special to the land of Israel. Due to that, says the Ramban, that is why mitzvahs mean more there. Because we're closer to him there. We're directly connected to him there. Even mitzvahs that do not have to do with the land of Israel specifically are different in Eretz Yisrael than outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this is what he says later on. And this is an extreme formulation, which not everybody agrees to. Skip down a couple of paragraphs to where it's underlined. This is what the Medrash says. Va'avadatem mehera. We say on a pasuk in Shema, you will be destroyed if you do not fulfill my Torah, says the Medrash, quoted by the Ramban. Af api shani magaleh eschem in ha'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Even though I am exiling you out of the land of Israel, heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvos. You know, keep doing mitzvos. Keep practicing mitzvos. Shekisha takzeru, so that when you come back to my land, lo yiyu aleichem chadashim, they will not be new to you. Mitzvos outside the land of Israel, in a certain sense, says the Ramban, are practice until we get back to the land of Israel. The next paragraph, Yini Akosiv Sha'amar Vata Mehera Vesanta Mesvara Eile, Einu Machayev Golas Ela Bechovas Haguf Kitfilin Umezuzos. The pasuk that the Medrash is referring to is Tfilin and Mezuzah. Tfilin and Mezuzah have nothing to do with the land of Israel. It's not like Shruma or Shemitah or a mitzvah that specifically has to do with the land of Israel. Says the Ramban, any mitzvah that we fulfill in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, is different than we fulfill it outside the land of Israel. There is direct hashgacha in the land of Israel. There is closeness to God in the land of Israel, something that we yearn for, to be in the land of Israel. So says the Ramban, putting this hashgafic Ramban backed with the other Ramban, when Avram Avinu is Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, when all the Avos are Mekayim the entire Torah, that's only in the place where God wants all the Jewish people to be and has the special relationship with them there in Eretz Yisrael. This is the opinion of the Ramban. I gave you in the next, in source number 14, the Vilna Gaon can't believe that the Ramban would say that tefillin and mezuzah are different in Israel and outside the land of Israel. He just can't believe it. He can't believe the Medrash would say it. And therefore the Vilna Gaon, who has the power, he's the Vilna Gaon, he thinks that there was a misprint in early sources where the source said Tuf Vav Mem, and that was explained by certain publishers as Tfilin Umezuzos, but really it stands for Trumos Umaisros. That is what the Vilna Gaon assumes, because he can't imagine that the mitzvos of Tfilin Umezuzos, which are what we call Chovas Haguf, mitzvos of our bodies, nothing to do with the mitzvah of the Aretz, how could they be different? But it seems clear that it really means Tfilin Umezuzos. Rashi quotes it as well, which the Ramban is quoting, Rashi in source 13, which I gave you. V'santem es devarai eila, af la'achar, go back one source, af la'achar shetiglu having misoyim b'mitzvahs. Still do mitzvahs after you go into galus. Hanichu tfilin asu mezuzos. Kedei sheyiyu lachem chadashim. So Rashi says it, and the Ramban says it. So it's very difficult to assume that this was a mistake. But again, the Vilna Gaon, based on the fact that he cannot accept the logic, he cannot accept it, but this seems to be what Rashi and the Ramban says. I'm sorry, you're missing the last line of the Gra. It says Hafrishu, the three words missing. It should be Trumos Umaisris. That should be the last words of the Vilna Gaon. But either way, this second idea that we have to answer our question of how did the Avos fulfill the entire Torah and yet seem to leave some out, marrying two sisters, building Matzevos, So the answer and the approach of the Ramban is only in Eretz Yisrael. Number three is the extra sheet that you have with you, which you have the end of the source in source 15. But the extra sheet, the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim, disregard the number 13. That was from a different shiur, but it's really the beginning of source 15 for us. The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Yivalazhin, has more of a Kabbalistic idea to explain why it was that the Avos seemed to leave out certain mitzvahs. Step number one. Every mitzvah that we do, besides bringing us closer to Hashem, has tremendous effects in the heavens, has tremendous effects in the Shamayim. We have no idea what happens in the heavens and all the different levels of heavens when we do a mitzvah, when we learn a little Torah. That's not something that we're supposed to think about when we do the mitzvos. But says the Nefesh HaChaim, step number one, there are tremendous effects that occur in Shamayim every single time that we do a little chesed, every single time that we learn a little Torah. Source, if you look on the extra sheet on line 10 in the Nefesh HaChaim, Ukeshem shekol gufo shel adam ole umizdakech al yidei esek ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos, just like a person himself is uplifted and elevated upon the performance of mitzvos, kach ha-olamos kulam. The worlds are changed when we do a mitzvah. Each time we daven, asher heinei mashir komas ha'adam, etc. Hei mizdachachim u'mistaharim u'misalim. Every mitzvah that we perform elevates, purifies, has tremendous effects in the heavens. Step number one. Step number two. If somebody performs a mitzvah in the realm of eina mitzuve v'oseh, if somebody's performing a mitzvah not because that they have to, but because they want to, even though they are not obligated, there is a little more flexibility in terms of its performance. Because God doesn't say you have to do this. So it makes sense that if I'm not commanded, so then I'll have a little more flexibility in terms of whether I do the mitzvah or whether I don't do the mitzvah. If I could find a good reason for myself not to perform the mitzvah, I would have that flexibility. If I am an eino mitzvah v'yoseh, more than if I'm commanded to do the mitzvah. So again, step one, every mitzvah that we perform has tremendous effects in Shamayim. Step two, the Nefesh HaChaim explains, when you are an eino mitzvah v'yoseh, when you are not commanded, there is somewhat more flexibility in terms of how you act. Step number three puts it all together. The Avos had Ruach HaKodesh. They saw the effects of every mitzvah that they would perform and every Avera that they would stay away from. Generally, they saw that all their mitzvahs and Averos are correct and they should perform it. But Yaakov Avinu saw Baruch HaKodesh that in order to build the Shiftei Ka, he had to marry Rachel and Leah. He saw Baruch Kodesh that he was not destined to fulfill this mitzvah. And he was allowed not to fulfill it because he was an Eino Mitzvah V'yoseh. So yes, every mitzvah has tremendous effects in Shemayim. But Yaakov Avinu saw that this one would not have the proper effect. He was not meant to be prohibited from marrying two sisters. He saw that it was history and it was destiny for him to marry Rachel and Leah. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Yivalazhin, on source line 23. Lo shahayim mitzuvim v'osim kach mitzad hadin. They were not fulfilling mitzvahs because they had to. De'im kein, because if they were fulfilling mitzvahs out of command, being commanded to, de'im kein lo hayim ma'amidin chas v'sholom adaitim v'asagosim. They wouldn't be able to act based on what they decide is correct or not. They were forced, laver ulashanos. They have to change some. They have to, quote, violate some. But this is because this is what they saw Baruch Kodesh. Obviously, we don't have Baruch HaKodesh. We have to do all the mitzvahs that we're commanded to do. This, you know, is not something that is in our realm to decide. But at least the message that we get, says the Nefesh HaChaim, is that every mitzvah that we do has tremendous effects in Shamayim. But being in Tzuvim V'Yosim, you can't decide based on knowing those effects whether you perform the mitzvah or not. Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram, Beruach Kodesham, they realized that what they were doing would not be appropriate, and therefore they did not perform certain mitzvos and certain averos. This is also echoed, the same idea is echoed back on the sheets in the Ara Chaim HaKadosh. Again, I'm sorry, the source 16, it's a huge piece. I didn't mean to give the whole piece, but therefore he also says that the Avos won't read it inside to save time, but in that the paragraph, you can just mark it off, in the paragraph that starts off, V'hanachon be'inai, that's the main paragraph, that the next 10 lines after that, that's where he says the idea that if the Avos feel that there is a toeles of not performing a specific mitzvah, so that is the way that they went. That is the derech that they took. There is another example where we find, based on a story in Sefer Bereishis, giving pshat in a pasuk, that we find that not being commanded gives a little more flexibility. There's a pasuk in source number 17, story that we all know, Rivka is pregnant. Every time she passes by a shul, she gets stomach pain. Every time she passes by a church, a Beis Avodah Zarah, she gets stomach pain. She doesn't know what's going on. The pasuk says in source 17, Vayisrot Satsuha Banim Bekirba, the twins inside of her are giving her fits. Vatomer im kain lama ze anochi. She says, if so, why am I? That's the lashon of the Torah. Lama ze anochi. And the commentators are bothered, what exactly does this phrase mean? Lama ze anochi. Why am I? So Rashi explains, she was upset, she's having a lot of pain, but what is lama ze anochi? Unusual term. Vateach lidrosh es Hashem. And therefore she went to shame to find out what the story was. But what's lama ze anochi? So there's a Gemara in Brachos. So Gemara in Brachos where Chizkiyahu HaMelech, one of the great kings of Israel, was on his deathbed. And Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to visit him. Hashem sends Yeshayahu HaNavi to go visit him. So let's read the Gemara. In source number 18, says the Gemara, the fourth line, by the third word on the fourth line, Vayamim Ahim Chala Chizkiyahu Lamus. Chizkiyahu was on his deathbed. Vayavo Elav Yeshayahu Ben Amotz HaNavi. Yeshayahu comes. Vayomer Elav, and he says to him, Kol Amar Hashem Tzvako Sav L'Beischa. Set together your estates. Ki Meis Ata V'lo Techayeh. You are going to die and you will not live, says Yeshayahu to Chizkiyahu. My ki meis ata v'lo techayeh. What is the double language? You will die, you will not live, says the Gemara. Meis ata b'olam hazeh v'lo techayeh l'olam haba. Very extreme. He was telling Chizkiyahu, there's not too much hope. So Amalei Chizkiyahu says, my kulei hai. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing to me? Why am I so sick? What? No olam haba? Omar Leh says, Yeshayahu mishum de lo asakta b'pir yivarivya. You didn't try to have children. Lo asakta b'pir yivarivya. So Omar Leh says, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, mishum techazoy li b'ruach HaKodesh denafki minay bonin de lo malu. I see in Ruach HaKodesh that I am going to have Rishaim as children. Some of the most terrible kings of Israel will come out from Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu says, I don't want to bring those sons into the world. That's why. I see it, there's going to be a Menashe, there's going to be terrible kings. I'm faulted for that? Says Yeshayahu Amalei, Bahadi Kavshei Derachman Olam Alach. With what's hidden to God, you have no shaychus. That's hidden things to God. My demifkatis, what you are commanded to do, Iboy L'chol HaMeved. You have to do. Don't worry about what's behind the curtain. You do what you are commanded to do. Umadenicha Kami Kutsha Brichu. You do what you have to do, what God has to do, Le'evid, he will do. The Gemara just continues, just to finish off the story. Yeshayahu says, okay, I'm sorry, Chizkiyahu says, so you say I should do what I have to do? So give me your daughter in marriage. So he says, why? Because Chizkiyahu says that maybe the schus of both of us will help. So Yeshayahu says, it's not going to help, it's too late anyway. And Chizkiyahu screams at him in the last line of the Gemara. Says the second to last wide line, don't tell me that there's no hope. Afilu cherev chadu munachas al tzavaro shel adam. Even if the sword is on the neck of a person, don't stop davening. Al yimona atzmo min arachamim. That's the end of the Gemara. But the language of the Gemara is, Yishayahu tel Chizkiyahu, don't worry about what God is doing. Bahadikash rachman alamalach, my demifkidis, what you are commanded to do, iboy l'chol ha-meved, you have to do. Says the Brisker Rav, using this Gemara to explain our pasuk. Rivka Imenu says, Im Kain, Lama Ze Anochi. I'm having such pain in childbirth. I can't take it anymore. Lama Ze Anochi, why do I have to go through with this? I'm a female. I'm not commanded in the mitzvah of Puravu. Lama ze anochi. I'm an Eino Mitzuba v'yoseh. I'm doing this because I want to. I should have such pain, I'd rather not. I have flexibility as an Eino Mitzuba v'yoseh. A man has no choice. Chizkiyo HaMelech had no choice. My demifkidis, what he was commanded to do, he has to do, says Yishayo to him. But says the Briska Rav in source 19, that is what Rivka Imenu means by Lama Ze Anochi, top of the second column. Ulefi Ze, Beisha She'enu Muzheres HaPuravu, by a woman, a female, who is not commanded in the mitzvah Puravu, Hadinim Chizkiya, Chizkiya's claim would have been right. If you see in Ruach HaKodesh that you're going to have a child that is inappropriate, that is a Rasha, so then the woman would be right. Chizkiya would have been right. So Rivka sees an Esav coming out of her. Rivka sees, you know, this is the kind of child. So Chizkiya was wrong because he had a tzivu, he had a command. But Rivka Imenu, that's her claim. Lama ze anochi. I'm a woman, where it's underlined. Hari anochi lo netzivisi apurivu. V'lama li kol atorak v'ha'amel hazeh l'holid ben Rasha obed avodezara. She has the same claim, but she was right, because she wasn't mitzuveh. Another example, where when somebody is eino mitzuveh v'yoseh, there is greater flexibility in terms of looking at the results and having the results of my mitzvos impact on whether I perform them in the first place. But again, this is another example of the third approach that we have discussed, of the Nefesh HaChaim, of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, of how could the Avos and the Imaos left out certain mitzvos because they saw Beruach Kodesham that these would not bring the desired results in Shamayim, and therefore they had the opportunity and they had the possibility of leaving out certain mitzvos. The final idea that we're going to mention in this part of the shiur, and that's from the Maharal Miprag, who wrote the Sefer Gur Aryeh on Rashi Al Torah. It's on the separate sheet, the opposite side. The Gur Aryeh. Simple idea, says the Maharal. He asked our question as well. How could it be that certain of the mitzvot were not fulfilled? Va'afilu, top of the column. V'afilu matat omer shemeach shekol mitzvah sein mitzvah tzadikim yisharim t'tovim lama ein roya mechuyiv sheyasu akol. Why shouldn't they do all of them? Like an ena mitzvah v'yoseh, says the Maharal in one line, where it's underlined, zehu davka b'mitzvah saseh. Seyesh al zeh schar. The avos did the positive commandments. The mitzvah saseh. The 248 mitzvahs asay and the dinim derabanan as well were fulfilled by the avos. The losa asays, the isurim, the averos, marrying two sisters, building a matseva, those were not fulfilled by the avos. Almost all of the chazals that we have about fulfilling kol ha'torah kula are about mitzvahs asay. Says the Gur Aryeh in the continuation on the bottom of the column, the hachilik in that paragraph. Says the Maharal, a mitzvah asay is inherently valuable. When I shake a lulav, and I don't have to shake a lulav, when I do any mitzvah, which I don't have to do, that mitzvah asay brings me closer to God. There's an inherent value to the act. And therefore, even if I'm not commanded to perform the act, it's still valuable to do the act. But by los asays, the whole point of a los asay is God told me not to do this, and I am listening to him and not doing it and not violating. But if I'm not told not to do it, then there is no lechadchila, there is no idea not to do something. The whole point of a los asay is that God told me not to do it. But if God didn't tell me not to do it, so then there's no point, says the Maharal, not to do it. That's what he says. Second to last line. Ki mitzvah asay hu kinyin maisim em neshi hu kinyin. That means there's inherent value. Avagav shlo neschayev ba. Im lo yasi yechaser ha-mitzvah. If you don't do it, you're lacking that inherent value. Aval mitzvah lo sasay. She'ena mitzvah kinyin ha-maisa. The mitzvah lo sasay doesn't have inherent value. Rak she'yeshe v'lo yasev eino konishum davar. If I don't do an avera that I'm not commanded to do, I don't get anything from it. The ikar ha-mitzvah, what's the point of a lo sasay? Shelo yava ratzon ha-bore yizbarach she'asar alav. That I don't violate God's will. But before God expresses his will, so then there's no reason, says the Maharal, to fulfill this mitzvah. Again, it does not work for Imlavan Garti, the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, because Taryag is 248 plus 365, the Asays and the Los Asays, but at least many of the examples that are given are all Asays. So these are four ideas that we have in terms of dealing with the issue of the avos, who were mekayim kol ha'Torah kula, even though they were not commanded. How is it that they had some violations? A, the Ramah says maybe it was only Avram Avinu. B, says the Ramban, maybe it was only in Eretz Yisrael. 3, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and the Nefesh HaChaim, they saw that these mitzvahs were not appropriate for them to fulfill. And 4, maybe only the Aseis and not the Los Aseis. We discussed the Avos' actions in the realm of Einu Mitzvah V'Yoseh. Let's speak, though, for the next few moments about the mitzvahs that the Avos had to do. There were certain mitzvahs that the Avos had to perform. There were 7 mitzvahs, 6 mitzvahs given to Adam. Noach got another one. That's why Noach gets the credit. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Noach got the Avram and Achai. That was the added one. One message is there that certain of our mitzvahs started before Matan Torah. And to get to appreciate this topic that we're about to discuss in the next few minutes, let's look at a Rambam. A Rambam in Hilchos Avel, in Source 22. Okay, this is part 2 of the Shir. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah Aseh Lehisabel al Hakrovim. It's a positive commandment to mourn relatives. Mitzvos aren't things that we always want to do. A mitzvah means that in every situation in life, God tells us how to act. Some mitzvahs we don't want to be in the situation to perform. Avelus is one of them. Mourning. But mourning is a mitzvah. God says, when Rahman al-Itzlan, we lose a relative, the proper way to react is avelus. And all that entails. So says the Rambam, it's a positive commandment to mourn krovim. Shene'amar v'achaldi chadas hayom ha'yita be'enei Hashem. A pasuk by Aaron HaKohen. Ve'ein avelos min ha'Torah ela b'yom ha'rishon bilvad. Says the Rambam, this is in Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Rambam, avelos mida'oraisa is only day one. Shehu yom ha'misa v'yom ha'kvura. And not only day one, but only day one if the burial and the death occurred on the same day. If there's a day separation between death and burial, then all of what we call Shiva is Durabanan. It's a mitzvah, but it's midurabanan. Says the Rambam and the Rif and other Rishonim, only day one is midoraisa, is biblical. And then the Rambam, Aval Shiva, let's finish first, Aval Shar Shiva Yamim Eino Din Torah. What we call Shiva, 7, the first day is Daraisa, the next 6 are Durabanan. But then the Rambam asked a question on himself. And it's not a question from a Medrash, it's not a question from a Gemara, it's a question from a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi that after Yaakov Avinu dies, the brothers sit Shiva. Afapi says the Rambam, Shene'emar b'Torah v'yasal aviv evel shivas yamim. You don't get a better source for a d'oraisa than being described in the Torah. So says the Rambam, how can I say that avelus only the first day is biblical while the rest are rabbinic? It says in the Torah that the Shvatim sat Shiva 7 days for their father. So how could I say that it's only rabbinic? Says the Rambam, Nitna Torah v'nischatsha halacha. The Torah is given and the halacha is renewed. What does that mean? Where does that come from? And how does that explain what the Rambam means? Nitna Torah v'nischatsha halacha. Where does that phrase come from? So to answer this, we have to look at another source and another Rambam, where the Rambam is going to tell us the secret to this idea. It says the Mishnah in Chulin, source 23. We know there is an Isser D'Oraisa of Gid Hanasha. Gid Hanasha eating the sciatic nerve, Isser D'Oraisa to eat that. What about the sciatic nerve of a non-kosher animal? How many Averos would I violate if I eat the sciatic nerve of a non-kosher animal? Of a kosher animal, I know. One Avera called Gid Hanasha. What if I eat a Gid Hanasha of a non-kosher animal? Do I get one Avera of Gid Hanasha? Or 2 Averos, Gid Hanasha and non-kosher? How many? How many Averos? We're going to see why this is important and relevant in a minute. So it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah in Source 23, Mas Nisan, Noeg b'tahora ve'eno noeg b'tameya. Says the Tanakama, the Isra of Gid Hanasha is only by kosher animals and not by non-kosher animals. When you eat a non-kosher animal, you only violate non-kosher. You don't violate Gid Hanasha. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rebbe Yehuda Omer af b'tameya. Rebbe Yehuda says, no, non-kosher animals, 2 averos. Non-kosher, and Gid Hanasheh. Unusually, the Mishnah itself quotes the svara, the logic that they argue with. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda turns to the rabbis and say, you say that Gid Hanasheh is only by non-kosher animals? I have a great proof that it applies even by non-kosher animals. Bahalomi b'nei Yaakov nasar Gid Hanasheh. The Shvatim did not eat Gid Hanasheh. Parshas Vayishlach records the Isser of Gid Hanasheh. And there was no such thing as kashrus in those days. The Shvatim ate non-kosher animals, and they still were not allowed to eat the Gid Hanasheh. Doesn't that prove, like my opinion, says Rabbi Yehuda, that Gid Hanasheh, the Aveira of Gid Hanasheh, also applies to non-kosher animals? Doesn't that prove, like my opinion, says Rabbi Yehuda? Say the Chachamim back, Amru lo, no, that's not a proof. B'sinai ne'emar, elashe nechtav bimkomo. It was written at Sinai, but it was written in its place. What does that mean? Rashi gives one idea. We're not going to have time for that right now. But the Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah in Source 25, tells us this line is the secret to our topic. What does it mean when the rabbis say back, don't bring me proofs from the sons of Yaakov Avinu about Gid Hanasheh? What does the Rambam mean? Source 25, where it's underlined. V'sim libcha l'klal ha'gadol hazeh. The Rambam says, listen to this important principle which I'm about to tell you. When the Rambam says, listen up, you know, our ears really have to perk up. He's the expert. And he's telling us, listen to the important principle I'm about to share with you. Hamuva b'mishnah zu. Hu amar misinai ne'amar. Behu, the middle of the second line. Sha'atat tzarich ladas, you must know. Shekol ma sha'anun is harim mimenu. O osim oso hayom. Anything that we do today, anything that we do or don't do, Ein anu osim zos elam ebnei tzivo Hashem al yidei Moshe. Why do we do any mitzvah? Why do we not do any aveira? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us at Har Sinai, that was the defining moment of our halachic history. Lo mebnei Hashem tzivo b'kach l'nivam shekatmuhu. Not because God told prophets before Har Sinai. That is not why we perform any mitzvah today. Dugma lakach, for example, says the Rambam. Einu anu ochlem eiver menachai. Lo mebnei Hashem asra v'reinoach eiver menachai. Why don't we eat a piece of a live animal, eiver menachai? Not because Hashem told Noach. That's not why we do it. Ela mebnei Hashem Moshe asra aleinu eiver menachai. V'ashen itztave b'sinai. You know why we don't eat eiver menachai? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us not to eat eiver menachai. V'chein, skip a few words. Ein anu malim. Why do we do bris milah today? Not because Avram Avinu did bris milah on his son Yitzchak when he was 8 days old, or on himself when he was older. Why do we perform bris milah? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. There's a difference, to put it in a word, between the history of a mitzvah and the reason the mitzvah is obligatory upon us. The history of a mitzvah might be before Matan Torah. The history of Bris Milah, the history of Eiver Menachai, that might come before Matan Torah. But the reason that we have to perform mitzvos is because Moshe Rabbeinu told us at our Sinai. That was the defining moment. And after all, the Rambam quotes a raya, quotes a proof to this. Halo, last line, the last wide line at the end. Halo, Tira Amram. What does the Gemara say? Sheish me'os v'shlosh esrei mitzvos ne'amrul the Moshe mi'Sinai. How many mitzvos did Moshe Rabbeinu get at our Sinai? 613. It does not say 606 with seven holdovers from before. 613 Moshe Rabbeinu gave us at our Sinai. Yes, the history of mitzvos is before Matan Torah. But the reason that we do mitzvos, the reason that it's obligatory upon us, is because Moshe Rabbeinu, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Moshe Rabbeinu, obligated it upon us at Har Sinai. Yes, the brothers sat Shiva for 7 days, but that does not obligate us to sit Shiva for 7 days. It's very possible that day one of Avelus is the Oraisa, while the other six are Durabanan, even though the brothers sat Shiva for 7 days. Another place where this comes up, we'll finish in about 5 minutes. Another place where this comes up, there's a Gemara in Brachos in Source 26. Gemara, this topic is familiar to many, I am sure. Why do we daven three times a day? Where does the three come from? Why three times? The Muslims daven more than three times. You know, why do we daven three times a day? Says the Gemara, two opinions. It's a machlokas. It's an argument. First opinion in Source 26, Itzma Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Tzvilos Avos Tiknum. Keneged the Avos. Avram did Shacharis, Yitzchak Davin Mincha, Yaakov Davin Mayriv. We daven three times to remember the Avos. They enacted the Tfilos. Second opinion, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Tfilos Keneged Tzmidim Tiknum. No, it's Keneged the Karbanos. There was something called the Tamid Shel Shachar, a carbon brought in the morning. There was something called the Tamid Shel Bar Narbayim, a carbon brought in the afternoon. And then there were the leftovers of the Karbanos that burned all night. That's Shacharis Mincha and Mayriv. So it's a mach, and there's machlokes quoted in the Gemara. Or do we daven three times a day because there were three avos, or because there were three karbanos? It's a clear machlokes in the Gemara. The problem is the Rambam quotes both opinions. The Rambam should only quote one opinion if it's an argument. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah in source 27 quotes Tefillos Keneged Karbanos Tiknum. It's Keneged the sacrifices. That's one opinion. Yet in Hilchas Malachim, in source 28, we won't read it to save time, the Rambam quotes that each of the Avot daven one of the Tfilos. And the question that Rav Soloveitchik asked on this Rambam was, how could he quote both opinions? It's a machlokas in the Gemara. Look at the Gemara. There are proofs brought to each opinion. Says Rav Soloveitchik, and I also found this in one of the great Achronim of the 1800s, the Maariv Chayis. I gave that to you also. There's a difference between the history of mitzvos and the reason we have to do mitzvahs, the obligation of mitzvahs, as we have just explained. The history of davening, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they davened. Look in Hilchas Malachim where the Rambam writes this. That's the context of the Rambam. The Rambam is giving the history of mitzvos, the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the history of davening. We can learn messages from the Avos. Why do we have to daven today? Why is it obligatory upon us? Tamidim Tiknum. Because it's Keneged the Karbanos. That is what Chazal said when they enacted it post Moshe Rabbeinu. That is why we have to daven. The difference between the history of mitzvos and the reason they're obligated upon us. Just one final source to wrap this up. Where does that phrase come from that the Rambam quoted of Nitzna Torah v'nischatcha halacha? The Torah is given and law is renewed. So the source of that is the Gemara in Shabbos. Source number 30. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, the last source. Amar Rav Asi. Kol she'imo tzmeya leida nimo l'shmona. V'chol she'enimo tzmeya leida enimo l'shmona. An amazing opinion. Rav Asi says, we know we do Bris Milah on day 8. Says Rav Asi, you only do Bris Milah on day 8 if the mother of that child became ritually impure during the childbirth. We know there's a halacha called Tumas Leida, a topic of a separate shir. Tumas Leida, when a woman has a baby, she becomes Tameh, Tameya. So the Pasuk in Parshas Tazria juxtaposes Tumas Leida right next to the Pasuk of Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlaso. The Pesukim put next to each other, a woman becomes Tameya Leida, baby has Bris Milah on day 8. Says Rav Asi, that's the teacher's halacha. If a woman, if the mother becomes Tameya Leida, so then the baby has Bris Milah on day 8. But if a woman does not become Tameya Leida, for example, a cesarean section baby, a woman is not Tameya Leida, the Bris Milah is not on day 8, but on day 1. That is Shitas Rav Asi, that Bris Milah is only on day 8 when the mother is Tameya Leida. But if the mother is not Tameya Leida, Bris Milah on day 1. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Isha ki salzri of Yolda Zachar, Utameya Shivas Yamim, and the very next Pasuk, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Basar Alaso. So you have Tumas Leida juxtaposed next to Bris Milah on day 8. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rav Asi, 1 minute. I have a great proof that Bris Milah should be on day 8, even if the mother is not Tameya Leida. Was Sarah Imenu Tameya Leida? There was no such thing as Tuma in those days. And yet, Yitzchak Avinu had his Bris Milah on day 8. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Doros Harishonim Yochichu. The earlier generations will prove to us that your comparison is incorrect. She'eni Motmea Leida, the mothers before Ma'at Torah, there was no Tumas Leida, V'nimo L'shmona, and everybody still got Bris Milah on day 8. Says Rav Asi back to Abaya, Amalei, Nitzna Torah, V'nischatcha Halacha. Don't bring me proofs from before Ma'at Torah. What happened before Matan Torah, that could teach me messages about mitzvos. That's the history of mitzvos. But right now, we base our halachic life on Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Taryag mitzvos namelu l'Moshe Misinai. That is why we do mitzvos, And that's why we can have this halacha. Just by the way, parenthetically, there is this machlokas. What are we supposed to paskin in this machlokas? It's a sveik of the dina. We don't know what to paskin. And that is why halacha lemaisa, there's a cesarean section boy born on Shabbos, we do the bris milah the following Sunday, day 9. Because we can't do it on Shabbos, because maybe this bris milah is not supposed to be docha Shabbos. Maybe the bris milah is supposed to be on day 1, on the previous Sunday. So we don't know what to paskin. That is why, based on this Gemara, if a woman has a baby on Shabbos, is born cesarean section, the bris milah is on day 9. If you do a bris milah on day 7, it's not good. If you do a bris milah on day 9, it's okay. It's just one day late. That's just parenthetically. But what do we see from all of these sources? There is a concept called Nitna Torah v'nischatcha halacha. The history of mitzvos and the reason that we do mitzvos. So just to sum up, the first half of today's shiur, we discussed the Avos' being Mekayim Kala Torah Kula. Again, in honor of the Blumen Pod anniversary, we started to discuss the roots of our national family and how it is that we're supposed to view the Avos fulfilling the Torah and yet certain violations of not being fulfilled. And we gave four different ideas how to explain that. Either it was only Avram Avinu, or only in Eretz Yisrael, or only the mitzvahs that they saw that would be productive in Shemayim, or only mitzvahs asei. And then we went into, what about the mitzvahs that they did receive a commandment? Does that have any effects on us? So we said, yes, it does, but only in terms of the history of the mitzvah. We can learn messages from those mitzvahs, but the reason that we do mitzvahs is ultimately because of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was our defining moment in history. That's the Rambam's Yisod of Nitna Torah v'nischatcha halacha. That's Bris Milah, that's Eivor Menachai, that's Tefillah, that's Tumas Leida. Just to end off, the pasuk every morning that we say in Az Yashir is Zekeli V'anvehu Elokei Aviv Arum Emenhu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Elokei Aviv, this is the God of my father, V'arum Emenhu, and I will make him great. Rashi on that pasuk tells us, Lo ani tchilas hakadusha. I am not the beginning of the sanctified people. Ela muchzekes v'omedes li hakadusha. But this kedusha comes from my avos. And Rav Soloveitchik explains, Rav Shechter writes this in Nefesh Harav, Rav Soloveitchik explains that really every Jew has two sanctifications, two kedushos. One kedusha comes from our avos, comes in a Yerusha, comes from our great legacy and heritage that we have, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, going back to the great avos and the imahos. That's one of our kedushos. And there's another kedusha that we ourselves create. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. We start off every Shmona Esrei. Our God and the God of our fathers. Zekeli v'anvehu, it's my God. Elokei aviv arumenu, it's the God of my fathers. So just as we were osek in this sugya of the kedusha and the mitzvos that the avos performed and the kedusha that they achieved and the great levels that they achieved in their life, let us all try to fulfill as well the second mandate that we have of zekeli v'anvehu, sanctifying our own life, bringing the Kedusha into our own world and trying to do God's will and capitalize on our own opportunities to sanctify His name. Thank you very much.